Now we are taking a break from our sermon series in the Psalms, and we're thinking about, you know, Jesus entering Jerusalem, coming to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, and the people rejoicing. They laid their cloaks down on the road, as well as branches. And traditionally, we think of palm branches, and they laid those branches down. And they're shouting, Hosanna. And Hosanna is actually a Hebrew expression, and it means save. But in particular, it means save now. If he is the promised Messiah, well, he's coming to free us, right? The people are thinking, this is it. We've been under this horrible government of the Romans, and now he's come to free us out from all of this oppression. But you and I know, and we have the advantage of 20/20 hindsight, don't we? Jesus the Messiah has something else in mind. His salvation will not be physical, at least not yet. Bringing us salvation is going to actually mean his death, because he has come to bring salvation for people's souls. Souls, that's why the psalmist could say, my soul, because you have one. His death and resurrection is going to pay the price for our sins. And now for the lost, well, not just for the lost sheep of Israel, I should say, not just for the lost sheep of Israel, but now. And here we are, 20 centuries later, untold billions of people all over the world, from every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation. He is in the process of saving all those who come to faith in him. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens. So today, and Lord willing, next Sunday as well, Easter Sunday, or some people prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday, we'll look at these stories. Because everything about Christianity rises or falls on whether these stories are true. All the stories from, you know, what we often call Holy Week. I mean, did a man named Jesus of Nazareth live on the earth? Some people will acknowledge that. Well, yeah, there was a Jesus. Did he die on a cross? Yeah, history tells us that. There was a man died on a cross. The big question, though, is this. Did he rise from the dead? Because if it isn't true, you are wasting your time here in church today. Okay, wait a minute, that's not... Well, we are to be pitied, as Paul the Apostle said, but listen, we're not completely wasting our time, are we? No, don't get me wrong. Isn't it nice to be together on a Sunday morning, waving branches around, you know? Mike and Sue down there in Texas couldn't wait to get back here to be with us all. They missed the weather. No, they didn't. But anyway, but we're here, you know, we're here. We sing some songs, hear some encouraging words, I hope. Sometimes people bring muffins. We even have potlucks here, third Sunday of every month. But something has to make us different. Oh, I don't know, say from those who get together to sing in a glee club, right? Or share a common interest in bird watching, or play pickleball together, right? All fun things to do. I know somebody who enjoys being a member of the Toastmasters Club. They get together and give speeches to each other. Yeah, hey, you know, whatever floats your boat, right? Think of the Rotarians. Think of the Shriners, those guys in those little hats and the funny shoes and those little cars and the parades. Wouldn't that be fun? They have great times together. And you know, they do really good work in our cities and towns all over Canada, all these different groups. But if this whole story that we refer to as the gospel of Jesus Christ, oh, if it is true, there's really nothing better to dedicate your life to. No other message more important for us to be sharing with other people. I would even hesitate to say there's no better way to live. Is there? But I'm getting ahead of myself. I should have saved that material for my Easter sermon, Lord willing, next Sunday. And it's not like I haven't preached a Palm Sunday sermon in the past. I don't have to totally reinvent the wheel, I'll have you know. But I could not just repeat last year's message, right? Someone will be listening to it on the website, and they'll say, hey, that's what he said on April 13th of 2025. Yeah, I did look it up. And I get it. I get it. Nobody will remember what I said on April 13th of 2025. It won't hurt my feelings. And oftentimes it's very good, you know, to repeat, remind ourselves of these various truths. Part of my daily devotional time, it includes a short video. I watch this video from down in New York City. It's Pastor Jim Cimbler from the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And this month he's going through the book of 1 Timothy. And 1 Timothy is a letter written to, it was written by the Apostle Paul to a young pastor. Yeah, all right, it's a bit late for me. But anyway, he said to Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you because you are young. Nobody's doing that. But it was this verse, and I've been carrying it around with me all this week. And kind of an odd verse to start off a Palm Sunday service with, maybe, but it's 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. And Paul is actually planning a visit to this church in Ephesus where Timothy is the pastor. And he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. And then he says, do not neglect your gift. And that's an important thing because, well, first of all, okay, that's a concise job description, okay? But it's not just for people in any kind of, like, official kind of ministry. I'm not going to center anybody out, but somebody introduced me today as the right Reverend Pat Murphy. We know that isn't true. There's only one who's reverend, right? But don't neglect your gift. Listen, so somebody in some kind of official ministry, yeah, sure, you get to the public reading of Scripture, which we'll do in a moment, and we've already done. But don't neglect your gift. We all, even if we don't ever preach, there's power in just sitting down with a friend, Bibles in hand, and sharing just some things about what we believe. God's word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't go back to him void. It accomplishes things for us. So we pray, we tell people what we believe, we share together, we pray for one another. I don't know, something strikes you in your reading, for instance. You see an article or maybe read a short or watch a short video online, you think, oh, I think my friend should hear this. Not to change somebody's political views, but I mean, I'm going to send this to my friend because this is going to encourage them. I have a few people, and a couple times during the week, I try just to send them a Bible verse. You know, they think, no, that's going to encourage them. And on any given Sunday, there is power in reading these scriptures out loud, which I'll do today. And well, right now I'm going through a book on the book of Revelation, and well, you know, that's the book that there's a blessing when it gets read out loud. Don't know what the blessing is, but we need to read these things out loud even. And if you're by yourself or you won't bother anybody, read the scriptures out loud so you kind of hear. You hear as well as read. Now, when it comes to the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection, as well as this story here, the details come to us in little bits and pieces from the writings of those four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And like any good investigative reporter, we piece this story together from those who were there. Or, in the case of Luke, someone who interviewed those who experienced all of this firsthand. They testified about what they heard and saw. Now, the first piece from this Palm Sunday story, I mean, if you want to turn there, if you have a Bible with you, I'm going to look at Mark chapter 11. We'll have it up on the screen soon, too. Okay, it's intrigued me. In fact, all right, this has actually warmed my heart. I'll read that in just a second. In fact, oh yeah, good, that is verse 1. Ever since I first started getting serious about following Jesus, okay, all those years ago, this is a great lesson for us. I want to share this little part of this story. I'm going to read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, and just the first 6 verses here. As it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent 2 of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one's ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back shortly. So they go, they find this colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there, and they're saying, hey, I added that. What are you doing? Untying that colt. And they answered just as Jesus told them, the Lord needs it. Ooh, all right. And the people let them go. Now, we get the same kind of thing in the story of the Last Supper. Later on in Holy Week, Jesus tells the disciples, oh, look for a man. He's going to be carrying a jar of water. Ask him, where's the room that he has prepared now for us to have our Passover in, our meal together? And I have to ask myself, who are these people? And when did the Lord, in all of his busyness, find the time to apparently chat with these people, right? To work out these details. I'm going to need an upper room in a couple weeks or so. Are you okay with that? Oh, yeah, sure, I'll get it all tidied up for you. Friends, I'm going to be needing a young donkey to ride into Jerusalem on. If I send a couple guys over to untie one of yours, is that okay? Ooh, if you need it, Lord, of course that's okay. We'll watch out for them. In fact, we're going to ask them just to make sure it's them. You know, there are so many mysterious little events here in these Gospels. Things we just read over to get to the more important stuff. But there's a great lesson for us here. Those people standing around those donkeys, some nameless guy carrying a jar of water, some woman wiping his feet with her hair, some kid whose mom packed him a little lunch, a few fish and some bread so we could go listen to the traveling preacher. They all have something to do in the life of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, nothing huge. Nothing famous, although, you know, all these years later you can find them in the Bible, but we don't know them. We don't know their names, not all of them. Were they insignificant? Woo-hoo, not at all. Not at all. And the great lesson for us, and well, I put it in my email this past Tuesday from 1 Corinthians 10:31, right? Whatever you do, do it with all your heart, as unto the Lord. Because you're not just serving people, you're serving Him. We talked about that in our Bible study this past week, right? Whatever He gives you, however small the task may seem, oh, and if you have failed Him somewhere along the line, yeah, exactly. Okay, now I don't make light of this, but if you failed Him somewhere along the line, let me tell you right now, who hasn't? It's why we need Jesus. It's why we put our faith and trust in Him in the first place, and it's why we still need Him every single day of our lives. So, get back up. Set your sights forward and try again. Why not? Nothing and no one is insignificant in His kingdom. Now, let's pick up more of our story here in chapter 11 as we publicly read these scriptures out loud. Let's see, I'll go back to verse 7. I'll read down to verse 11. So this is Mark 11, Now, when they brought the colt to Jesus, this little donkey, and they threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches, palm branches, right? They'd cut from the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem, Mark tells us. He went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The story of Jesus entering that city of Jerusalem on what we now call Palm Sunday, it's found in all four of the Gospels. John mentions it briefly. It's in chapter 12. But when you read it from there, you get reminded that this happened just after Lazarus was raised from the dead. Now, as for the regular, normal people, they loved it. They loved everything this man was doing. The religious leaders? Oh, not so much. No. This is getting out of hand. We're going to have to kill him. And while we're at it, we've got to kill Lazarus too. Well, let's face it. They were like the top religious people. They were the people that wanted to be called reverend with the big hats and everything, right? This isn't a good commercial for us. Here's some guy with this hodgepodge of people, and he's raised somebody from the dead, and this dead guy's walking around. This is going to make us look bad. Too many people are leaving our ranks and believing in Jesus. And the great irony of that is, of course, that, well, that's the plan. That's God's plan. So this week, Jesus, he doesn't stay the night in Jerusalem. That's too dangerous. So he and the disciples, they stay in Bethany nearby. The 12 warned him. Oh, listen, they're out to kill you, you know. But Jesus knows this is all part of God's plan. His hour is coming. He must go to Jerusalem. And then riding on this little burro, this little donkey, this little colt, he isn't just somehow displaying his meekness here. Actually, donkeys were ridden by kings whenever they wanted to arrive in peace. The donkey was the animal of peace. The horse was the animal of war. King comes to town on a horse, watch out. And on that day, which I guess would have been in our month of April, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords came into Jerusalem riding on this little animal of peace. Now, as I mentioned, pieces of this story, they're in all four of the gospel accounts. Now, both Matthew and John mentioned this. It's John 12, but I want to look at Matthew 21 and just verses 4 and 5, because this event actually fulfilled prophecy. Well, that's not entirely true. This event half fulfilled prophecy. I'll explain it to you here as we read it. But Matthew tells us, yes, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And he quotes Zechariah, where it says, "Say to daughter Jerusalem." No, to daughter Zion. Do we have the next slide there, Jeremy? Oh, there it is. Good. I thought, well, did I forget to give you that? All right. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And that's a reference to Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. But both Matthew and John have left out verse 10. We're going to put them both up here. Now, I should tell you, Zechariah wrote this about 500 years before the birth of Jesus, which, by the way, is another proof for us that this story is real. The things in this book are real. You don't just arrange things 500 years to happen 500 years later. No, you can't arrange this kind of thing. And all the prophecies concerning Jesus, right? Okay, so here it is. So this is, Zechariah 9, verse 9, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And then verse 10, the part they left out. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim. Maybe it's Ephraim. And the war horses from Jerusalem. And the battle bow will be broken. You know, we think of our First Nations people. You know, you took an arrow, you broke it in half and said, there, we're at peace. I'm not here to use this against you. God's breaking the whole bow. He's going to proclaim peace to all the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Kind of sounds like what we have written up there on the Parliament buildings in Ottawa. Now, this prophecy is in two parts. Zechariah verse 9 was fulfilled on that Palm Sunday. That's what it says in Matthew, and John says, yeah, as it is written. But under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, both Matthew and John leave out verse 10. And I personally believe that they had no idea why. I mean, they could see. I mean, they were good Jewish citizens. They knew the scriptures. This is fulfilling the words of Zechariah. Now, okay, when you take your Bible, or if you have one at home, when you take your Bible, you notice, and this makes it really handy for us. We have chapters and verses, right? All these chapters and verses, so we can find things in this book. But, I was doing some research online. Did you know, I mean, these didn't get put in to our Bibles. Well, the first person who tried it in some kind of uniform way, it was in around the year 1200 AD. Now let that sink into your head for a bit. 1200 years after that first Palm Sunday, somebody attempts to catalog the Bible in such a way. And chapters and verses didn't come into their complete form as we know them now, probably around, not until around the mid-1500s, 1500 years later. Now you and I, as I said it back at the start, we look back on these events of Holy Week, right? Hindsight, 2020, we know. We know, first of all here, all right, you just got to look around, right? Here, 20 centuries later, there's a great lack of peace among so many nations in our time. Heavens, just the last couple of weeks, an absolute lack of peace. The peace that the Messiah will someday bring to the entire earth, his complete rule of peace over all the nations, that's still to come. There's much more of this prophecy and others still waiting to be fulfilled. And, I mentioned it in the prayer, didn't I? We're not going to be doing the fulfilling. No, he will. And he will. So we understand. Now, we live in this age. Some people have called it the age of the church or the age of grace. I actually prefer the age of the church. Well, okay, it began at Pentecost, right, when the Holy Spirit came down. It's going to end when Jesus returns, and some of us, many of us, hope that soon. We don't know. So we preach the gospel. Okay, well, first of all, you know, in the age of grace, although grace has always been a part of God's nature. And you know what? Not even a part. I read something just this week. It was a great reminder. God is grace. God is love. The other day I was reading my devotional from the sermons of A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer, yeah, I know. Nell and Maureen are both, oh yeah. He was talking about God's mercy in that devotional, but this applies. He put it this way. He said, mercy is one of the attributes of God. Not something God has, but something God is. If mercy were something God had, conceivably, he might use it all up. Well, think about it. How easily do you and I, can we run out of patience with some people, for instance? All right, I've had enough of you. This is it, right? But Tozer says, since mercy, and you know, we can add things like love and grace and justice, since all of these are something that God is, we must remember that they are uncreated. The mercy of God, for instance, did not come into being. It always was. For mercy is what God is, and God is eternal and infinite. And Tozer went on to say, you know, some have the idea that the Old Testament is all law and judgment, and the New Testament is all grace. What's not factored into this, though, says Tozer, is that God never changes. It's his holiness that sent Jesus in the first place. I got to find some way to bring these people to me. What God was in the Old Testament, he is in the New Testament and every day. He's the same God. And being the same God and not changing, he must therefore be the same in both the Old Testament and the New, and vice versa. So when we rest on the mercy of God, we rest upon God himself. We don't think to ourselves, oh, if God's having a bad day today, he's not going to be merciful to me. He's not going to love me today. No, no, he doesn't have days like that. We do. So we, knowing that there's more of this prophecy still to be fulfilled, right? There's more to come. Messiah hasn't returned yet. But those people on that day, all they knew, well, of course, they knew what Zechariah said. Any good Jewish person did. They thought, this is it. All this prophecy is now going to come to pass. They did not see this gap in the middle between the Messiah's first and second advent. Is it easier for me to let you see the visual? His first and second advent. So they cried, Hosanna, save now. They didn't know. Matthew and John, as well as Mark, Luke, and anybody else living in that first century, they didn't know. Right? Do you remember, we talked about this in our Bible study when we first started this series we're doing right now. They asked the Lord after his resurrection. It's in Acts chapter 1. They said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? I mean, this is it. You're alive now, right? This is it. And Jesus said, and you and I need to remember, he said, it's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. How close are we? I don't know any more than you do. I heard somebody say the other day, well, all this talk in the Bible about Jesus coming soon. Hey, listen, it's been 20 centuries. But God is outside of time, isn't he? He doesn't see time. He doesn't experience it the same way we do. Thinking of what Peter said, right? A day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. So I don't know, what's it been? A couple of days? Maybe they were kidding. I don't know. But Jesus would say it to all of us. As for today, and in your life right now, you just keep being my witnesses. You just keep being my witnesses. Hold on, I just thought of it too, you know. They were all upset because the children were saying Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus said, haven't you read? Out of the mouths of babes, he's ordained praise. So yeah, you keep praising. Okay. Jesus said, as for you, you just keep being my witnesses. That's why we're here. Now, I just thought of it at this point as I was preparing the sermon for today. All right, and Gloria, you'll have to tell Jess that I mentioned her in the service today. I was going to glance over and say, and as you know, Mark and Wendy's daughter, Jess. But Mark and Wendy aren't here. Jess isn't here. The girls are all gone somewhere, and Mark's working at home, right? Okay, and Gloria will be giving him a nice lunch. But some of you might remember, and I think it was Good Friday. Was it last year or the year before? But Jessica taught me a song. And she sang it while I played it on the guitar. It was by a Christian band called Cain. And the song is called The Commission. Go tell the world. And I was thinking of these lines, and I thought, well, I guess I'm supposed to use them here this morning, maybe. The words of Jesus, and he said, see my hands and look at my feet. It's okay if it's hard to believe. I have faith that you will do greater things. It's my time to go, but before I leave, go tell the world about me. I was dead, but now I live. I gotta go now for a little while, but goodbye is not the end. Don't forget the things I taught you. I've conquered death and I hold the keys. Where I go, you will go too someday. But there's much to do here before you leave. Go tell the world. You know, many people in that day missed it. Right after Palm Sunday, he ends up clearing that temple. Cleaned house, really. He said, you've made this a den of thieves. My Father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer. This one included. On that day in Jerusalem, Jesus was offering himself as their Savior and Lord, their King. And those people had an opportunity to either accept him or reject him. You know, Luke tells us that he wept over that whole city of Jerusalem. He said, I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers its chicks, but you wouldn't. Hasn't changed, has it? He had to go to that cross. And here, on this March day, in the spring of 2026, he still asks us to decide, either for the first time, or maybe it's been a while, or maybe, well, every day. Are we for him, or are we against him? And we demonstrate that to him by the way we live our lives and the choices we make. None of us will do it perfectly. He understands that's why he came. Now, not everybody, of course, right? There were those who were, yeah, Hosanna, you're the one. I don't care what happens. I'm following you. Those disciples, they all ended up giving their lives too. They saw a dead man rise. But there were many in his day who missed it. And many still miss it today. So, let us not be among them. Let's continue to be his witnesses until he returns. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who has come in the name of the Lord.